working hard so long. Seems like pain has been my only friend. My fragile heart's been done so wrong. I wondered if I'd ever heal again. Oh, just like all the seasons never stay the same. All around me I can feel the change. Oh, I will break these chains that bind me. Happiness will find me. Leave the past behind me. Today my life begins. A whole new world is waiting. It's one for the taking. I know I can make it. Today my life begins. Yesterday has come in.
And welcome back to The Podcasting Principle. I am Dustin Roller, host of The Podcasting Principle. This is the second episode. I'm calling this The School in the Summertime. And again, we do several different shows here at APR Podcast Studios, and this is the first one that I've attempted to do by myself. And I mentioned the other day how difficult I really do think this is to just sit here and talk about my kind of thoughts and feelings for 30 minutes on my own. And not have, whether it's my wife or Matt, you know, that are my co-hosts and my other shows to kind of lean on. So when I say the school in the summertime, you know, kind of what inspired me to do this podcast was, it's amazing how quickly the school building and kind of the vibe inside changes after the school year ends. And, you know, I work throughout the summer. I do have vacation days, and I'm gonna take some vacation time, but I'm usually in, you know, most of the summer, along with a couple of the secretaries and things. But, you know, you go from a building that's got 1,100 kids and 100-plus staff members, so 1,200 people that meet there every day for 180 days, and then you kind of narrow it down. You get to where you're, you know, then it's just the teachers and, you know, staff members. And then it narrows down to some staff members who have a little longer contracts. And then all of a sudden it's just me and the few secretaries who have year-round contracts. And it's amazing how the shift is, because there's still a ton of hustle and bustle at the high school in the sense that as soon as our construction crews could get in, we're doing some updates, some LED lighting, some new ceiling panels, gym roof, going to be starting soon on a brand new softball baseball project and doing those. So as soon as those construction crews could get in, they wanted in, and understandably so. They have a very small window with us coming back to school the first week of August to get in and get that stuff done. And so it's really amazing how it shifts. You go from 1,100 kids walking the halls and, you know, all the things that go into that to, you know, 50 to 60 construction workers that are in, you know, with a very set time limit to get their things done. So it's a pretty major change. I can say that when the summer starts, typically I'm really excited because it is a great time for me to be able to get things done and not have the interruptions that you have during the school day, you know, and really be able to come in and knock some things out. And it's a weird time as an administrator because you're trying to wrap up still the previous year. So when the summer started, you know, we were really focused on graduation and really making sure we wrapped up the 2018-2019 school year before we really moved on to 2019-2020. And so now we've kind of transitioned into that, you know, that second part and really looking towards next year and kind of setting some things up to hopefully improve us for next year. But it's a weird thing for me because I do enjoy it for a couple of weeks. I get a ton of stuff done, and it's amazing how much more productive I feel when I go into the office and I'm not interrupted, you know, the thousand times a day it happens. And trust me, I'm going to explain that I'm not complaining about those interruptions. But after a couple weeks, I really start to struggle keeping myself with that focus because I miss the interactions with kids. I miss the fact that I've sat in my office for a couple of hours working on a project that I can't get up and walk down to the cafeteria and eat lunch with the kids or talk to the kids or pop in a couple classrooms and see what's going on. And I'm sure some of the construction guys are worn out by me because a lot of times I'll get up and go walk the building and see what's going on and bug those guys. And they don't seem to find me nearly as entertaining or interesting as sometimes the kids do. But it's tough, and it's like a totally different feel for me. There's not the interactions I can have with people on a daily basis. And so it's a really kind of weird time that, you know, there's all this excitement. There's all this newness that as we're building for next year, and we're talking about new programs and how we're going to adjust curriculum and, you know, how we're going to support our teachers and setting schedules and, you know, getting kids ready. And, you know, and we have a lot of exciting things that are coming to our school. But it is a weird time, too, because no one else is there. And it's, you know, the kids aren't there. I mean, outside of we've got athletics and things in, and I try my best to get out and see them when I can, because, you know, it is really, really important for me to be around the kids. And so, and it's kind of the same way I view, you know, what I see in the summer and kind of the cyclical nature of the school year is the same way that I think it is with kids. Because right now you've got seniors who have wrapped up their high school career. They are looking ahead to whatever they're chasing next, whether they're, you know, I've seen the Facebook posts of kids who are doing their freshman orientations, and they're, you know, they're getting their schedule set, and they're visiting their campuses and seeing their whatever their dorm room's going to look like. And it's so cool to see that. I've also, you know, seen the Facebook posts from some of our extremely brave young men and women who are headed off into the military and what they're doing already. And even then, I see great things from our kids who are going right into the workforce and what they're doing, whether that's through a trade or working for a local employer, what they're doing in those areas. So those kids, you know, have kind of wrapped up what they've done, and they're headed off to the next thing. And the cool thing for me when I talk about it reminds me kind of the building and the cyclical part. You know, here we're putting in new lights and we're adding these new things, and it's fresh and it's this new thing. It's a lot like this freshman class that'll be coming in. And, you know, they don't know what to expect. They may have had some older brothers or sisters or friends or cousins or whatever that have come through the school, but they have no idea what it's going to be like the next 4 years for them. And I don't say that in a negative way. And sometimes I think kids come in with that negative kind of feeling about it. I say that in an extremely positive way. And that's exciting. And I think sometimes today we get so afraid of the unknown that we make it almost a negative. But it's a really exciting time that they don't know what all is coming. They don't know what all is going to happen and where it's going to lead them, where it's going to take them. And so that's kind of the exciting thing as we look at this. You know, you graduate one class, and it's tough. I know I had one parent that after I did the first episode and kind of talked about graduation and some of the kids that we had moving on from us, you know, I had one that messaged me and said, "Hey, you really need to put a disclaimer out that this podcast will make you cry." And it was not at all my thought that I was going to make anyone cry with the podcast. It was just important to me to be able to kind of put my words out there about what I think about kids today. And I'm telling you, I know there's a lot of people that have differing opinions on this generation, but there's great kids in this group, and there are great kids who are going to do special things. And I want to say that, you know, one thing that was really tough for me this year, and it's a decision that I made, I had several kids that invited me to graduation parties, and I can't tell them how much I appreciate that, how much I truly think that's an honor that I was invited. But I made a decision that because I've spent so much time with them during the school year, that I was not going to go to any graduation parties because I didn't want to pick and choose. And I knew I couldn't make them all. And I didn't want to pick and choose between seniors. And I wanted the opportunity truly to spend that time with my family and my kids. And I did. I made sure that I took the time to really get a chance to spend time with them, quality time with them. The cool thing that has come of that, and what I'm going to do for each senior, so if they're listening, I'm going to spoil the surprise, but I don't think many of my graduating seniors are listening to Mr. Roller, the podcasting principal, but I am going to actually write each one, and I have all of their graduation invites, and I'm going to write each one of them a personal letter about, you know, what I thought about them, how much I saw them grow, you know, how impressive I truly think they are. And I'm going to get each one of them a very small gift card for iTunes. And I'm going to share some songs with them that I think are very, you know, inspiring, that I think are very kind of make me think about them as a person, because obviously I'm a big music person too, and I think it's really important. And I'm going to encourage them to use the iTunes gift card that I give to download those. Whether they do or not, that's fine. I just hope they don't download Old Town Road with it. That would highly disappoint me for what I was giving them for. But so it's a tough time, and it's, I know a lot of teachers feel that way, and it was tough for me to say that I was going to make that decision. But again, it was the best decision I thought I could. And if there is a senior listening and I didn't make your graduation party, that is 100% the reason why. It is nothing against you. It was that I didn't want to have to choose between who I was going to go to their party. And kind of talking ahead, you know, and I would welcome anyone who may listen to this and, you know, has a question, a comment, something they'd like to hear me kind of give my opinion on, not that anybody truly cares about what my opinion is, but to send me an email. And my email is droller@aprpodcast.com. Again, that's droller@aprpodcast.com. So send me a question, give me some feedback, let me know what you think. I want to move on to the next part. And again, this is kind of all about moving on to the next step and something that is very, very tough in our business and education. And you always want to put your people, and this comes from my coaching background as well, I always want to put my players and I always want to put my teachers in the position to be as successful as they possibly can, no matter what their goals are. I want to help them to achieve their goals. The tough thing with that sometimes is that means that they may not be with you forever. Obviously, as people, you know, move up, whether that's in the coaching ranks and they want the opportunity to be a head coach, or, you know, in my sport of football, be a coordinator somewhere, or, you know, you want to move up into administration or to be a department chair or whatever that may be, is your goal. There's only so many of those positions. And sometimes, you know, those positions take a person to go somewhere else. And also sometimes there's situations where, you know, it's a better fit for that person's family or for their, you know, their future family. And the toughest part is, and I struggle with it so much because I'm so, so happy for all of those people that I'm talking about, and I'm not going to name names, but that have gotten opportunities to better themselves, whether that's through a promotion, whether that's through an advancement in coaching or teaching or administration, or whether it's an opportunity to better themselves, whether that's, you know, living closer to home and where they're going to be and working closer to there. And I can't question anybody who does that. But as an administrator, you know, it's so tough because you're trying to build that team. And when you lose such great people, and you really have to worry about how do I replace them with quality people again. And that's not knocking anybody out there who's, you know, just got their teaching license. You know, watch our website, apply. You know, we want the best of the best to come work with us. But it's such a catch-22 because you're so happy for them, and I truly, truly am. I'm so happy for all of them that's happened to, and it happens every summer. But while I'm so, so happy for them, I am also so sad that they're not going to be a part of our building anymore. And, you know, that's the big thing. When I took the job, that was so important to me was relationships with people. And data is extremely important. You have to track data. You have to know where you're at and be able to tell if you're moving the needle, if you're improving things. And if you don't have data, you can't do that. I truly, truly believe that. But I always believe that you have to be people-centered and data-driven. Because when you get too much into just numbers, and we used to call it when we were in when I was coaching in football, it was paralysis by analysis. You start staring at the numbers so much that you just get paralyzed in them. And I think you always have to remember that on all of those numbers, no matter what it is, those numbers tie to a kid, those numbers tie to a teacher, those numbers tie to a staff member in some way. And there's tons of factors that can go into what that data means. And I say all that to say this, you know, you have to be that, but the relationships are the biggest part. And honestly, I've always said, and I took this from I totally stole this from another administrator that I've worked with in our district, who always used to say the ultimate goal when you're talking culture and climate in a building is to make it to where it's a difficult thing for them to retire or to leave. You know, you don't want people just over the moon excited to walk out the door and go do something else or to retire. You really want it to be a conflicted decision. And that's, again, not saying I don't want people to retire. I'm happy for those that did. I'm happy. You want them to want to be at work. And that's something we're trying to build. And, you know, to those that get those opportunities, again, I'm wishing them the absolute best. But it will be a different situation. We're excited about some of the new staff we're bringing in, and we think we've gotten some really good people that are coming on board. But again, it will be different, not seeing some of those faces that I look so forward to seeing in our building next year. And again, it's kind of the same thing as the, you know, whether you're coaching or a teacher, as one class kind of moves on and you get that next freshman class and you look ahead and you don't really know what you're getting. You don't know what it's going to be like. You were comfortable with the seniors that you had. You knew what they were going to do. You knew how to react to them. Now, all of a sudden, you're kind of thrown back into that mix of what if and how do we build that relationship? So while it's sad for me that we'll be losing some, it's also exciting that we're going to have some new ones to build those relationships with and get ideas from. You know, we always love when people come with outside ideas and give us an opportunity to learn from them and kind of build off of that. So some really, you know, exciting stuff, I think, you know, coming ahead for us. So the last part of this second episode of the Podcasting Principle, and again, if you listen, I would really, really encourage you to give me some feedback at droller@aprpodcast.com. One thing that I'm looking at, and I'm getting ready on vacation here in the next couple weeks to read a book called Searching for Deeper Learning. And I don't have the answers to this. And I know it's something my staff is talking about and working with. We see a real struggle with kids to complete homework. And I've got another book that says The Battle Over Homework. And I don't know exactly where that line is of what's right. I know that my wife, who's also a teacher, when I was teaching one time, I happened to be grading a paper. And I remember I said, I'm just going to give them participation for doing this. I was behind in grading, and I was just going to give them participation so I could get through it quicker for me. And I remember my wife making the statement, if it's not important enough for you to check and see if they did it right or wrong, or to make sure you review it with them, why did you assign it? And there's so much truth in that statement, because if it doesn't have quality to me, if it doesn't have, you know, importance to me and value to me, how do I ever, you know, convince a kid that it has value? And I think kids today are so engrossed with, you know, just different forms of media and that's all of it. Social media, you know, visual media, that I think it is very, very difficult to hold their attention to do homework the way it was done before. And again, I'm not saying that it's we need to get rid of all homework. I don't know that that's the solution or answer. But I do think we're at kind of a turning point right now in schools that I do think we have to somewhat reinvent ourselves. And what I mean by reinvent ourselves is I think when you look at anything that kind of runs its course, you have to start training and doing things in a different manner. And again, I would also be interested in a lot of kids and the way they feel and the way they think and how they learn the best. Because honestly, if you want to search for any study, you can find a study that will back up your point. And you got to be very, very careful to make sure you're getting quality studies, from researchers when you do that, because you can find studies that say homework doesn't help. You can find studies that say homework does help at this age and this much. And you can find studies that'll kind of back up anything. But I am very, very proud of our district because this is what I know and what I believe. I believe first and foremost that you can't teach a child until that child is healthy mentally and physically. And I'm not saying sniffles. I'm not saying we have so many kids today that come from trauma situations at home. And we talk about ACE, adverse childhood experiences, and what that trauma can do to their brain and their ability to learn. And I think first and foremost, we have to address those issues in our communities and make sure that we're providing kids with the support and the strategies to deal with that trauma. And it's never going to be a foolproof plan. It's never going to be something that will totally, there's no fix all, but so that they can cope with what they have to deal with. So that's first and foremost. And you know, it's huge because if you're not healthy mentally, there's no way for you to learn, retain information, and be able to do the things that you need to do. So that's first and foremost. I think we have to address that. And I know there's different schools of thought on that. There's the idea that that's not a school issue. That's a home issue that needs to be the parent. And you know, what I've said forever is we can't change the cards we're dealt. We can only make the best of the hand that we have. And that's what I want to try and do. And in the sense of what I mean by that is, you know, let's make them the best we can make them. And I understand we've got struggles. We've got things that bring that in. But I think it's very, very important that we make sure we're doing everything we can. And with that includes, you know, taking care of our teachers and taking care of our staff members who are supporting these kids, because it is a very, very taxing line of work to deal with some of the trauma that these students have been through. And I'm very excited about what our district is trying to do, and specifically what some staff members at our school are trying to do to address that part, because that's first. Then I think you have to give them, you know, engaging and value learning. And I think that is different, because I think sometimes people think when I say that the only way to engage a kid is through some high-tech thing or some technology or website or this or that or the other. I don't believe that. I think some of the most engaging times that I've ever had with students have been one-on-one conversations, have been small group conversations, have been discussions that we've had about things. And I feel like they probably learn as much in that as I get the opportunity to learn in that. So those are big moments that I think that's still engaging. That's great quality work. That's a great opportunity for our kids to learn. But I think we have to, I think this generation wants a voice in their learning. And I do. I think they want a voice. I think they want to know what kind of value it's adding to them, whatever they're being asked to do or study or talk about. I think they want to know what kind of value it's adding to them. And I think they want real life applications. Because it is a weird time in the world today that you can, and I'm not saying every video out there is good, but you can get on YouTube and honestly learn and have someone show you a lot of the skills that we talk about, and I'm talking about, you know, whether that's home repair or auto repair or maintenance or whatever that is, but a lot of those things, and these kids have been conditioned to learn like that. You know, it cracks me up with some of the stuff we put in technology to try and block them from getting to certain things on the internet or the website or our filter and firewall. A lot of those videos to break through that and get to the other side are right on YouTube, and the kids can follow right along with it and do that. So I think it's tough for us to sell them on those things and the ability to learn that way from a video and then say, we're going to debate the French Revolution. And I'm a history guy, so I'm not putting that part down. We're going to debate the French Revolution and what does that mean? And I think that's the big thing. When we have to start connecting what we're talking about to how it affects their lives. And I think sometimes we try to do that on a bigger scale, connect it to national politics, connect it to, but we need to show them, you know, how that can create action in their lives, how they can be involved. Because I do think to this generation of kids, to a lot of them, you know, and I've read some studies on, you know, millennials and the next generation, that they want value in what they do, even in their jobs. They want to know what it's adding to the world. That's important. They're not in it just for the paycheck and money. So I think in the same way in education, we've got to offer that to them. Why is it valuable that we talk about this? And yes, I know we have state standards to follow. We have, you know, standardized tests. We've got all this other stuff. But I think we have to take those state standards and find a way to make, you know, engaging real world connections for these kids so that they truly feel value in what we're teaching them. Now, I know what some people are going to probably say or email me. Yeah, that's really easy to say. How do you do it? And I'm going to be the first to admit I don't have all those answers. And that's a very 10,000 foot view of what I'm talking about. But I know that it's possible. And I know that what it's going to take is not being afraid to fail. And that's another thing that I think in education we've gotten so concerned with because of the standardized testing, because of the A to F grading scale, because of all the things that have kind of been thrown on us here in Indiana in education. I think we're terrified to try and fail. And I'm the exact opposite of that. I do not want to see us be complacent and mediocre and just continuing with the status quo. If we can push, and even if we fall six times, get up seven. And I am totally good with pushing that envelope and seeing what we can do to make our kids better and offer a better product for our kids. So I'm excited about these opportunities. I know this. It's going to take my staff, my teachers, my assistant principals, my guidance counselors, who are all much smarter than me and have much better ideas than me. And I'm going to lean on them to help figure this situation and this thing out. But I know this, sitting back and saying it's what we're doing and is not working is not good enough. We have to think outside the box. We have to come up with creative ideas. And you know, we have to listen to our customers, which is our kids. And we have to get away from the idea they don't know what's best for them. They don't all the time. Don't get me wrong. I was a kid and did a lot of silly things too and made some mistakes. But we have to get away from this idea that they can't figure out what's best for them. And we have to give them opportunities to at least give us feedback. And I also, with that, don't believe that there's one model that's going to fit all schools. And I've seen some other things schools are doing, and I'm excited about it. And I think we have to connect it back to our local regions and our local employers and what we have to offer. Because if we don't, we're going to miss out on our greatest part of our student population. So, like I said, to me, you know, with great challenges come great opportunity. And I think that's what we have in education right now. I think we have the opportunity to redefine what we do and how we do it to best service our kids. So those are my thoughts today on the school during the summertime. Huge shout out again to the class of 2019. Can't wait to see what all you guys go and do. Also, huge shout out to the class of 2023 that's going to be coming in as freshmen this year at the high school. And we're excited to have you in the building and see what you accomplish with us over the next 4 years. It's going to go fast. It always does. And it's crazy to me that, you know, some of the kids that I coached and taught that I'm getting wedding invitations from now. And so, but huge shout out to those classes. Huge shout out to all my staff and everyone that works with me. And again, I appreciate everything you guys do, and let's keep pushing. Let's keep challenging the status quo, and let's not be afraid to fail. And when we fail, we'll get back up, we'll reevaluate, and we'll come back with something even better. Again, if you'd like to reach out to me, you got a topic you'd like to talk about, you'd like to come on as a guest to the Podcasting Principle, and you'd like to kind of, or you've got a thought, feeling, disagreement, I'm all good with all those, shoot me an email at droller@aprpodcast.com. Again, that's droller@aprpodcast.com. And again, thanks for listening. I have no idea. I mean, I know how many downloads I get, but I always laugh and say, I think that's my mom downloading it every day. So I have no clue whether anybody's actually listening to this, but it's really therapeutic for me to sit down and kind of put my thoughts together and talk them out. So that's my deal. This is kind of like my journal. So I'd love some feedback. I'd love some interaction. And, you know, we'll do another one of these here in July sometime and get it out. So we're going to try and do them about once a month and kind of follow along with me in my journey in my second year as a high school principal. So thanks again if you're listening. And again, shoot me some feedback, and hope everyone has a great 4th of July. Stay safe, and we'll see you back in July.